From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. People over age 65 are shockingly vulnerable to financial exploitation, sometimes by family members who pressure them to sign over assets, but often by strangers on the telephone who fraudulently promise them big winnings if they'll only fork over some money first for upfront expenses. That's just the start. Three Maryland experts tell us that an older person who's lonely is more receptive to the fraudster who claims to care for them. Amy Greensfeller heads the Pro Bono Counseling Project.
The antidote to all of this is the positive social interaction, the friends and families checking in on people, getting them connected into things in their communities where they can give back the skills and that they've learned over their lifetime. So getting folks engaged is a very positive thing.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. People over 65 lose billions of dollars to financial fraud every year. Everything from being talked into signing over pension payments to getting locked into sales contracts with big hidden fees. People who work with senior citizens say the problem is getting worse. You may have heard David Brancaccio's recent series on the Marketplace Morning Report about new neurological research that implies some seniors who are otherwise healthy and with it seem to grow less skillful in spotting scams. They become more vulnerable to being exploited. Amy Greensfelder heard the Marketplace reporting and got in touch. She's a social worker who is executive director of the Pro Bono Counseling Project, which organizes free counseling to Marylanders of limited incomes. Victims of crime is one of the groups they try to help. Amy Greensfelder is here with me. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
There's so much financial exploitation and scamming of older adults in Maryland that a coalition has been formed to work against elder abuse. Amy put me in touch with two others active in that coalition. Jackie Schroeder, also a licensed social worker, directs SAFE, Stop Abuse of Elders. It's part of HANA, an agency of the Associated Jewish Community Federation of Baltimore that helps people experiencing financial, psychological, or sexual abuse. Welcome to the show, Jackie.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Baltimore County Police Officer Debbie Chenoweth is with us. She's been on the force 42 years and for the last six has worked with the state's attorney's office exclusively on financial crimes against senior citizens. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So this idea that it isn't only very frail seniors or people slipping into dementia who are vulnerable to being exploited financially. Does that match what you encounter in your work, Amy?
Yes, we frequently get contacted by, often who's contacting Pro Bono Counseling Project for services are the friends and family members who have an older adult in their life who has fallen victim to one of these scams. And they're calling us because they want to know how to help their family member, and they're feeling distress over what's happened in their family, and they want to help their mom or their dad or aunt or uncle respond to this and respond appropriately. And we see a range. We see people who, as you've mentioned, maybe have dementia or Alzheimer's or another memory disorder, but we also see just folks in general who you would think are otherwise healthy but are, you know, fall victim to these kinds of scams.
Jackie?
Same thing for me. In our program, which is part of a domestic violence agency, HANA is the premier domestic violence agency serving the Jewish community and beyond, we receive calls from victims themselves. In addition to hospital domestic violence and family violence programs, we get calls from Adult Protective Services, from any family members, lots of calls from family members. But I think one of the highlights is that we do get calls from the victims themselves, which says to us, just from the start, this is a person who has the capacity to understand what's happening to them.
And I imagine, Debbie, in police work, you're seeing the same thing.
Absolutely. And in 2012, there was a law passed in Maryland that the banks are being kind of put to the task of keeping an eye on the elderly's bank accounts and seeing what they're wiring out, what kind of money they're taking out, if it's unusual banking practices that they're suddenly involved with. So they have to report these results that they see to either Adult Protective Services, the police department, or the state's attorney's office. So we get a lot of referrals that have gone to APS that come to me.
But, Adult Protective Services.
Correct. But the banks, because I've been doing this for so long and I've been working with the banks, a lot of the people at the banks will call me directly if they see one of their customers is being exploited.
So why do you think this problem is getting worse? There seems to be a consensus that it is.
In the fact, aging of America.
Just because there are more senior citizens.
Absolutely.
And I think that also coincides with technology is allowing more and more people to have at their fingertips the tools to perpetuate these scams. So at the same time we have this aging population, there's more ways that people can be exploited.
The fastest part of the population is people who are 85 and older, and they're probably the wealthiest part of the population and maybe the wealthiest that we'll see for decades from now on.
So you're saying that senior citizens have a lot of assets that are a lure to the bad guys.
Yes.
And how does, Amy, how does the technology enter in?
Well, you think of things like the dark web, where there's things like lists of people who've been vulnerable to these scams before. So these folks who are perpetuating these scams are trading information about people. The robocalls, then often those are the starting point, the entry point into a scam. So there's all these different ways with the internet and email and computers and phone systems, all these different technology things that on the whole, I think, are generally positive, but they give people ways to exploit folks.
What are the factors that make someone especially vulnerable?
Loneliness.
Tell
there's
me more.
There's an awful lot of individuals that they live by themselves because their spouses have passed away, their brothers and sisters have passed away, maybe their children have moved away. So they live in houses by themselves. They have very limited contact with anyone else. So if the phone rings, they're ready to talk to anybody. And I've even been in somebody's house where the phone has rang and they have gotten on the phone, turned their back to me, and I've heard them say, oh, no, that event I'm going to is tomorrow. It's not today. But, yeah, I have time to talk to you. And then the next sentence was, what do you mean I still have to give you another $2,500? So I know at that point that it's one of the bad guys calling, but they're savvy enough to know I have to get these people to like me, to be want to talk to me, that I'm involved in their life, that I'm part of their friend population there. So when that happens, these people get all excited because they know. I had a 96-year-old man the other day that won't leave his house because he's waiting for the phone call that tells him when they're going to be dropping his check and his Mercedes-Benz off at his house.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. But you're in touch with him.
Absolutely.
So how is this unfolding? I mean, can you keep him from making a big mistake?
I can contact family members. That's what I do a lot of times. I'll contact a family member and say, you really need to get in there and talk to him and be part of his life. He doesn't have anybody, so he's waiting for these bad guys to come and visit him. And that's not ever going to happen, because if I tell him that, he won't believe me, because it's that mindset, like Jackie was talking about. They've already got it in their mind that they are going to be the big winner. They're going to get a car. They're going to get a check. They're going to get, you know, somebody to come in and give them, you know, all these prizes. And I've had victims this has been going on for years. I had one woman, she had already given over $1 million to the bad guys, thinking that she was going to win the lottery for $3.9 million.
Oh, my goodness. That is Baltimore County Police Officer Debbie Chenoweth. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast, talking about financial scams that take advantage of the elderly. Also here is Amy Greensfelder, director of the Pro Bono Counseling Project, and Jackie Schroeder, director of Stop Abuse of Elders, or SAFE. This whole week leading up to World Elder Abuse Awareness Day has been declared Protect Week in Maryland. Jackie, this isolation, tell me, you hear from victims. Tell me about a case that sticks with you.
Well, a case that comes to mind is one of a woman in her late 80s who we got a call about because she was at risk of being evicted from her senior apartment. And it turned out that for 5 years, she had been scammed out of her entire life savings and her Social Security check. And Adult Protective Services had been called into the case, but they were about to close that case. And
because?
I said, because she had the capability of making her own decisions, and she was choosing to continue having a relationship with whoever was calling her on the phone. So I said, no, you're not going to close that case. And a meeting was scheduled, and it was amazing to meet her. She came to the door with her tweed suit, and as if she was going to have a business meeting. And she was a very renowned person. She had a master's degree in organizational development from George Washington University. She was a licensed therapist. She had had an antique business and was an oil painter. And she didn't have anyone in her life. Her husband had died years earlier. She had no children. She outlived her people. And she believed that these frauders were caring about her. And while we sat with her, Sheila, her phone rang literally every 10 minutes.
Oh.
What I was able to get her to do was agree to have her phone number changed. So with her sitting there, we coached her to call the phone company and get her number changed. I want you to know she would never, ever have been able to do that on her own. Even if she had wanted to, the complications of being on the phone, using the phone correctly, following the instructions, she would not have been able to do, even though the frauders made a game out of the exploitation, and they would tell her what magazine to buy and what page to turn the magazine to and how many bills to put inside those magazine pages. And I want you to know that right now she's safe. We negotiated a payment plan for her rent. Her phone number was changed. Somebody at the table blocked all the calls that had been coming through to her. And she still is shy of the amount of money she needs. So every now and then, fortunately, Chana, we have amazingly generous donors who give us gift cards for food only for our clients. And so every now and then, probably every quarter, we take her about $50 in gift cards. And it's a way for us to keep track of her.
Some people listening to this might be thinking, well, why doesn't someone just establish guardianship over people who are making these kinds of mistakes?
Well, in order to get guardianship over an individual, you have to have two doctors that will certify that they're incompetent to handle their own financial affairs. And that's very hard to do.
It's a pretty serious matter to have your human rights taken away. And in the world of competence, it's really a continuum. So just like what we learned about in David Brancaccia's
reporting on Marketplace,
There are parts of the brain that maybe decline earlier. And so maybe a person can't make a decision about which bill to pay first, but certainly can make every other decision in their lives. So is it that they should lose the rights to make all decisions? You know, and after all, people who gain guardianship over others aren't always the kindest, fairest, well-intentioned people either. So
we're going to take a quick break, but I want Amy's nodding vigorously at that. I want you to make your point.
I was just nodding about the guardianship. Sometimes the people who end up in these guardianship roles then end up exploiting the person out of their Social Security checks and other financial assets. So guardianship can be a very positive thing in some situations, but it could also then set somebody up for a different kind of financial exploitation that's instead of these faceless scammers, it could be somebody that's actually known to the person at that point.
On that sober note, we're going to take a quick break here on The Record on WIPR. Officer Chenoweth, Jackie Schroeder, and Amy Greensfelder are all staying with us. And when we're back, I want to double down on their advice for spotting and avoiding scams. This is Protect Week in Maryland, a whole week of events and seminars by AARP, the state's attorney general, the nonprofit credit counseling agency, CCSMD, many other groups. Before we wrap up the show, I'll tell you about the event on Friday morning at the Randallstown Library. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this morning about the growing problem of financial abuse of senior citizens, with Mayor Three professionals working to end elder abuse: Baltimore County Police Officer Debbie Chenoweth, Jackie Schroeder, Director of SAFE, Stop Abuse of Elders, which is part of the Jewish agency Chana, and Amy Greensfelder, Executive Director of the Pro Bono Counseling Project. So it sounds to me like an awful lot of the fraud, the scamming, goes on over the telephone. So is the telephone the place to nip it in the bud, Jackie?
Yes.
How?
Well, I think there are a lot of things. First of all, I think older adults need to be educated about what the tactics and methods are that frauders use, because the type of fraud changes regularly. And we go around town and we teach everybody in senior centers and senior buildings about these tactics and methods. I think people need to be thinking about not to make any quick decisions, ever. They also, I guess the bottom line for me is, don't pick up the phone. If you don't recognize a number that's coming through that phone and it's somebody who really needs to get in touch with you, they are going to leave a message for you. If there's no message, know that that was a frauder and block the call.
I'm sorry. I've got friends who don't leave messages. I think there's a thing now where people don't always leave messages, that they're not necessarily trying to defraud you.
Well, I think still for an older adult, if somebody needs me and they don't leave a message, then that's going to be on them. If, let's say, I call you, when you pick up the phone, I say, Sheila, you say yes. The minute you said yes to a frauder, you've just been put on an A-list. That's what they call it. And you are going to be somebody who's going to be targeted more than somebody else who just picks up the phone and is silent. Or if you pick up the phone and I start to talk to you and you start arguing with me and you say, don't ever call me back, you know, I'm not going to believe anything you say, now you're on a B list. You're going to be called back.
Because you engaged.
Because you engaged. And so my message to everyone is, if you don't know how to program somebody you care about, their number in your phone, ask someone you trust to program that number with their name into your phone so that when it rings, you're going to see the name.
Amy, I want to pursue with you this idea of don't answer the phone or be ready to hang up, because as Debbie was talking about, if folks are lonely, they're just going to think, I can chat. I can have this conversation.
I do think that social isolation is one of the, you know, you mentioned the phone, but I think one of the root things is the social isolation that older adults face. And social isolation puts you at risk for all kinds of health conditions. It puts you at higher risk for suicide. And then it also puts you at risk for these kinds of scams. So to counter that, as Jackie was saying, if you have folks in your life, get them to program these numbers into your phone so that you can have that positive social interaction, right? Because we want people to, the antidote to all of this is the positive social interaction, the friends and families checking in on people, getting them connected into things in their communities where they can give back the skills and that they've learned over their lifetime. So getting folks engaged is a very positive thing.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Kast speaking with Amy Greensfelder, director of the Pro Bono Counseling Project, with Baltimore County Police Officer Debbie Chenoweth and Jackie Schroeder, director of Stop Abuse of Elders, or SAFE. We're talking about financial exploitation of senior citizens. This is Protect Week, a week of events and seminars leading up to World Elder Abuse Awareness Day on Saturday. Debbie, what's the key advice that you give people who seem vulnerable to exploitation?
Well, a lot of times, and I know they were talking about the phones, I tell them when you pick up the phone, don't say anything because your hello usually triggers if it's a robocall. So don't say anything. I also, a lot of times when I give presentations, I give people whistles and I said, blow it into the phone as loud as you can. And I said, and I guarantee you they're going to stop calling because that's an irritating sound. But the other thing is if you say yes, if they ask you a question, when you're on the phone and it's like, do you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Mm-hmm. If you say yes, that yes could be put into another context to say, well, we called you and asked you if you wanted this service to have your computer swiped every once in a while for bugs. And you said, yes, we have it on tape. So I try to tell them, don't say anything, because if you don't say anything, it doesn't trigger the call. And there will be blank space, so just hang it up at that point. So, you know, that's one of the things. But I like, in my cases, I try to always find neighbors, family, friends to get these individuals and get them out of their houses. I tell them all the time, I said, take them out. I don't care if you take them for lunch. I don't care if you go to McDonald's. Get them out of the house. Take them someplace, take them to Walmart shopping to pick up a few odds and ends. Get them outside that house, because sitting in that house all day long, all they have to look forward to is that phone call that comes in.
How do these cases, you see the, among the three of you, a huge range of these cases. How do they tend to end? I mean, does the, you mentioned sometimes the older person will call and say, I've gotten involved, I need some help getting out of this situation. Is that the most typical way something like this unfolds?
No, we say when you've seen one case of elder abuse, you've seen one case of elder abuse. Every single one is unique. And our motto is to find them and then to walk them through the process until they come to safety, however that safety is defined by them. And that might mean that they've, like I just said, we've changed their phone number. It might mean that they've gotten a protective order against someone who is abusing them. It might mean that we've helped them find an alternative place to live. It might even mean sometimes that we're safety planning with them to stay in their home with an abuser. In cases of older adults, two older people relying on each other are not going to fare well if they separate. So we bring in other resources so that they can be safe together in the house.
Amy, one of the things you told me is not to argue with an older person about what's true.
Often folks in these situations, they think that they've formed a relationship with this person scamming them. And if we're coming in them in there and arguing and saying, no, that person's a bad person, you don't want to trust that person. And if you just are, you know, really forcing your view on them, they're going to double down and say, no, this person's been so friendly with me. They're going to get me the Mercedes. I'm going to win the lottery. But if you come alongside with them and ask them questions about what's going on and really listen to what they have to say, you'll be much better in getting through to that older adult and creating that trust so that then you can start to tackle all these things that we've talked about with blocking numbers, et cetera. But if you come in from this side of, I'm right, you're wrong, you don't know anything, you're never going to get anywhere.
Debbie Chenoweth, do you see a way this problem gets better?
No. Most of the scammers that we have are not even in this country. Most of the money that gets sent to these people gets sent outside our boundaries. So once the money's gone from the United States, there's no way to get it back. And we also have to watch out for the people in their own families. About 60% of my cases are family members that take elderly people's money. And those are the people that we are actually able to do something with because they're right here.
You know, also, we have to realize that abuse of older people is about polyvictimization, meaning when you're seeing one form of abuse present, you can count on that there are at least one, if not many, other forms of abuse that are taking place. And so even if we can't get their money back, there might be a lot of other ways that we can help them in the ways that they want help. We really have to individualize for them, and we have to think outside of the box.
Boy, it's a complex problem. I'm grateful to you for talking to us about it. Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
Jackie Schroeder is executive director of SAFE, Stop Abuse of Elders, which is part of HANA, a Jewish response to people in crisis. Baltimore County Police Officer Deborah Chenoweth works exclusively on financial crimes against older people. And Amy Greensfelder is executive director of the Pro Bono Counseling Project. All three are active in BC Rest, Baltimore County Restoring Elder Safety Today. On Friday, from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., BC Rest will host discussions and resources around the theme, Taking Your Power Back, Fostering Resilience for Older Adults. It's at the Randallstown Library in the Liberty Court Shopping Center. You can call 410-887-4200 to learn more. And we'll post information at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. Again, the number is 410-887-4200. At the On the Record webpage, we'll also link to our guests, organizations, and resources, and to that Marketplace radio series, Brains and Losses. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for joining us on the record. Come back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!